for the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things yet to be manifested. For indeed, Father, that which we see you doing now, you have done a long time ago. That which we will see has already been done. It is all finished. It's all done. Lord, oh God, this morning, we step into the finished work. So, Lord, oh God, that we might experience all that you have. You're such a good God. God who's loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, Father, that this day we can worship you in spirit and in truth. How great thou art. How great thou art, O God. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch your sons and your daughters everywhere. Wherever they are this morning, whatever time zone they are listening to this, oh God, reach out and touch each one. Infuse them, oh God, with grace beyond measure. Take not thy Holy Spirit from your people. Let your people be baptized beyond measure. Reach us, O God, and do a new thing, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve the glory and the honor. So we'll lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. So we'll lift our voice in worship as we bless your holy name. You're so great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You're so great, you do miracles so great. There is no one Lord like you. There is no one else like you. Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the worship. We surrender ourselves to you. Have your way, O God. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so. Amen. Hallelujah. It's Mama to come and continue to lead us in our time of worship. This is the day the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. Thank God for the worship team that have come to help us worship this morning. Be blessed, be highly favored of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Church International, as you join us in worship and giving God praise this morning, God touch you and your family, strengthen you, heal you, restore you, make you whole, bring a turnaround for every misfortune in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We welcome you into the service. Have your way this morning. Let everything that is not of you leave the presence of your people right now and leave this ministry in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that is not of you, leave your people. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, move in this house this morning. Above all, move in our hearts. Let us become genuine Christians, people who genuinely love God, love your word, love your ways, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for touching people's lives at home, touching them, those that are sick, that they are being healed right now. Those that are weak, the joy of the Lord is coming to them and they are being strengthened right now. Lord, those that are mourning, that you will comfort them. Comfort your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And those that are fearful, that the boldness of God will come upon their heart, that love will saturate their heart, that every fear will leave them in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all our church family, our biological family, our spiritual family, and our partners all over the world, from age 120 to zero, those in seed form in the womb, that the hand of the Lord will touch every one of them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are dealing with incurable diseases, Jesus, you are the answer. Heal, restore, and make them whole. You are able to counsel that incurable to cured, to made whole. In the name of Jesus, we send your word of healing, of deliverance, wholeness, restoration, and joy unspeakable to your people. Father, have your way in the service this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, We speak peace to the nation of Israel, peace to Canada, peace to Nigeria, peace to United States of America, the islands of the sea and all the nations of the world and all First Nations. Jesus, you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, this morning our scripture reading is going to come from Isaiah 40. Yeah, 31 verses in Isaiah 40. So you can catch up with us as we read Isaiah 40. Indeed, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord that transforms us. The words of man never transform. That's why if you keep correcting somebody with your own words, they never change. But when the word of the Lord is there, it does a transformation. May the word of the Lord transform our lives this morning. That we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed to the world of our God. Verse 1, Isaiah 40, everybody should be there at home. You can read along with me. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So God wants to comfort his people, and we also to comfort one another. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Praise the Lord. When the nations and the cities are going wrong, we don't keep rehearsing their wrongness. We begin to speak comfort. We begin to say, be comforted, O Winnipeg. Be comforted, Jerusalem. Be comforted, Canada. Be comforted, Nigeria. Be comforted, United States of America. Begin to speak comfort over your nation and over your city. Can you say that wherever city you are this morning, say, be comforted. I live in Winnipeg, so I say, be comforted, Winnipeg. The Bible says, be comforted, O Jerusalem. And then cry unto her. Say, your warfare is accomplished. Hallelujah. The warfare is over. Begin to speak solutions and answers. Begin to say, her sin is forgiven. Say that over your city, over your family, over situations you are dealing with. Rather than rehearse the problem, begin to say the answer. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. These are the languages we need to begin to speak, especially in today. There's no nation that's not in crisis right now, but we begin to say Jesus Christ is Lord over all the nations. In the name of Jesus. Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. Say a big amen. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. All flesh is grass. We know that it's just the beginning of summer here. You know, it's not officially summer in Manitoba or in Canada. It starts June 20th, but we are already in June. But many other nations, they are in perpetual summer. They don't have winter. They just have summer all year round, 12 months of the year. But either way, wherever there's summer, there's always grass. The grass grows fast. Last night we had a lot of downpour of rain and thunder and showering, which is good for our earth. The farmers need it, and we are individuals. We need it in our yards so we don't have to water our grass. We got a free watering from heaven, so we want to give God praise. Everything blooms and blossoms. But either way, you still have to maintain. When they begin to grow, if you don't maintain the grass, they become wild. So they just get cut off. They have a glory, and their glory is very temporary. All flesh have glory, and it's so temporary. It's like grass. God says your life is just like grass. So the most important thing is for you to put your trust in the Lord, to really focus on who you are in God and your relationship with him. Every other thing, they fade away quickly, like grass and flower. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 7, Isaiah 40, the grass withered, the flower faded, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. So next time, if you think you are all that, just go pick a grass and take a look at it very well and take a look at your life. Better yet, pick some of them, go to your house, put it by the mirror and look at it. See, this is what God compares your life to. So God, let every day of my life count before you, because you don't know when the bell will toll for you. Even though he's granted us 120 plus years, Father Abraham lived 175 years, so even the time space given to man is 120 years, Abraham broke that mold, and we have the Abrahamic covenant. So you can live up to that level, but not all life get to that level. Either way, 175 years is still a grass. That's nothing compared to eternity. May we all have our eternity secured in Christ Jesus. Say amen. The grass withereth, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's the only thing that never dies. May God's word in you never die. When the grass fades off, the word stands sure. May God visit every one of us and our household, that the word of the Lord becomes important in our lives. Say amen. Verse 9, read with me, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Hallelujah. Let us begin to proclaim our God is at hand. Our God is great. Our God has a great hand and a rulership hand in the name of Jesus. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So do not worry about your future. you and your family shall be taken care of by the Lord. Say amen. Verse 12. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord or been his counselor had taught him? With whom took the counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? This is God who has taught him all of this. Our God is an awesome God. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. What is God saying to us? Everything we think is so big and mighty, the speck of dust. The nations are a drop, like a drop of water in a bucket. That is minuscule. If everything is that tiny in the sight of God, what can he not do for your life today? How big is your mountain? How big is your problem? How big is your sickness? How big is your lack? How big is your family situation? How big is your health issue? How big is your nation crisis? Everything is a speck of dust and a drop of in a bucket. God is great and is able to deliver and set every captive free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 My God is able. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. So any nation that is boasting right now in the earth, thinking that they are the greatest nation, that they are the one who can solve humankind issue, or they can terrorize any nation, God say you are nothing, and God say you are vanity. May we put our trust in the Lord. No nation can suppress the human being because God reign over our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord reign forevermore. Verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spreaded it over with gold and casted silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he had no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that seated upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is who I talk to this morning. This is who my God is. Is he your God? If he is your God, then you are on the right side. You will never fail in life. You will never be destroyed in life. You will reign in life. In the name of Jesus. He sits on the circle of the earth. Your body is earth-made. Your physical part is earth-made. Your spirit, soul, and body. So he sits in the circle of the earth, sits in the physical earth, he sits in you. The Lord reign. Somebody said, the Lord reign over me and my household. Say amen. Hallelujah. 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 I hope the word of the Lord is penetrating you and penetrating your spirit this morning. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. Hallelujah. If you have any president or a prime minister of any nation, any king or any prince or any queen, any whoever, any person who thinks they are of great importance or elected by the people or put by birthright, anyone. He said, if they do not do things that pleases God, God brings them to nothing. God is the one that lifts, and God is the one that brings to nothing. May you be part of his lifting and not bringing to nothing. In the name of Jesus, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, including judges. Judges that are making laws that are against the will of God, that are destroying people. God say, I will bring them to vanity. May God deliver us from all evil. In the name of Jesus, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He's the ultimate judge, the judge above all judges. Verse 24, yea, they shall not be planted. Hallelujah. Every evil thoughts and every evil imagination and wickedness and thoughts that are against the knowledge of God are brought to nothing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And it shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Every evil imagination and works of men that are against the people of God, that wants to bring corruption and corrupt the seed of God and the things of God, they are brought to nothing in the name of Jesus. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Say hallelujah. Verse 27, we are almost done. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest to Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord and the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Hallelujah. There is no cessation of his understanding. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what corner of the earth you are, whether your country or your city or your community is called the poorest and the unknown. It's not even visible in the physical map of the world. God knows where you are. In that tiny little corner, the everlasting God can reach you and your family. In the name of Jesus. May God remember all of us. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. May God empower every one of us today in the name of Jesus. Those that are weak, those that are struggling, you are battling things that nobody knows about. Only you, God, touch you where you are in Jesus' name. May your strength be increased. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord is my prayer for every one of us today, that this will be our portion in the name of Jesus, that we will continue this race no matter what we face and finish strong with renewed strength, with mounting up more than even eagles. The word of the Lord says God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt on eagles' wings. May God carry us on his wings to heights unknown, to heights beyond our imagination, to heights where the glory of God is. Father, may your glory fill our hearts and our family, and be with everyone today in Jesus' mighty name. Bless the word of the Lord that is coming to us now. May it transform us. May it cause us to have a hunger for you, to be genuine before you, to be authentic children of the Most High, not by man's standard, but by your standard. In the name of Jesus, bless your word, carrier of the word, the giver of the word, receiver of the word, our tithes and our offerings, and our thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for grace and for his goodness revealed to us. This morning, I want to share with us, by the leading of the Spirit, from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning to read from the 10th verse. I want to take this time to welcome you all to this very special time of gathering together in the house of the Lord. This is our first Sunday of this month. It is the sixth day of the sixth month. And God wants to do a finishing work for you and I. I pray that all ears are attentive, that minds be renewed, and that the change that God desires to establish in all of us be made manifest for his glory and honor. Luke 13 is a very interesting chapter. It's a chapter that starts out with a husbandman or a landlord, owner of a plantation, vineyard, talking about a fig tree that was not producing, wanting to destroy it. But a servant came to him and said, the one who was dressing, he says, let's give this fig tree another chance. Let me do some other things with it and see if we don't get a different result. And the Lord said, okay. But prior to that, the Lord had a very interesting conversation. In verse 1, it says, they were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So these are Galileans that Pilate had killed and mingled their blood with the sacrifices they were making. This is the persecution of the people. And his disciples asking about all of this, and the people around are asking about that. And the response of the Lord is quite remarkable. He says, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, that this evil came upon them, that they suffered such a thing? Do you think they were worse than the others that are alive? I tell you no. In essence, bad things happen. Life happens. Things happen to people. And there are times when people that are worse get away and people that are not as bad get hammered. He says, I tell you nay, but except you repent. You see, that's the point. When you see evil happening, he says, what I want you to do is repent. Except you repent, ye shall all. All is an all-inclusive word. All likewise perish. What does perish mean? In our language, for something to perish means to be destroyed. But perishing means that it got destroyed unnecessarily. Didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen. But it happened. That's perishing. Then it goes on. All those 18. All those 18. That's a very crucial number. Upon whom the tower in Siloam fell. So there's this tower that falls. Is the Tower of Siloam, and this is the tower. Siloam means sent, and this tower possibly was by the pool in Jerusalem. It says it slew them, so 18 people died. Do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? The Lord asked. These 18 that died, do you think they were worse than other sinners in Jerusalem? And that the only reason why these ones died and these other ones didn't die was because these ones were really bad? He said, think again. I tell you now, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What is the point? The point is this. God is calling every one of us to repentance. To repent. Bad things happen to good people. They happen to bad people. And they happen to evil people. Bad things happen. And God says, whether you evil, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is you are, repent. Repent. Except ye repent. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Metanoo. That's that word. What does it mean to repent? It means to think differently. Metanoia, think differently. Think differently. Think from a higher level to repent. The penthouse is the house right at the top. And God is calling us to metanoia. He's calling us to repent, rethink, think in a different way. Then he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came sought fruit thereon and found none. Came looking for fruit, found none there. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. For 3 years I keep on coming here to get fruit from this fig tree. It has had 3 years to rethink. To reproduce. cut it down, he says. Why cumbereth it the ground? Wow. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking nourishment, nutrition, taking nutrients from the soil and producing nothing? Why is it hearing the word of God and producing nothing? Why is there no change here? Just cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? What does that word mean? That word katagel means that when you are cumbering, it means that you are destroying. It means that you are making void. In other words, the ground is giving you what you need, but you are not doing anything with what you have received. You say, Pastor, I thought we were starting from verse 10. Well, we're coming. There's nothing out of place in the Word of God. Nothing. It says, you are shaming this ground. You are shaming this ground. In essence, you are shaming the word of God. You're sitting down hearing the word of God, no change taking place. You're shaming the word of God. You are hearing what you need to hear to bring about transformation in your life, but there's no transformation. You are not doing what you ought to do. You don't have a reason to be here. Now, that is a very serious word. The Lord is giving that parable. And he doesn't give parables just to, because he wants to just make a comment. He's challenging us. He's saying to us as a people, listen, my word that you've been studying, reading, what change is it bringing about in your life? And why is there no change? And why are you here? I'm getting ready to get rid of you. And the dresser said, he answering said unto him, thank God for intercessors. Lord, let it alone this year also. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, great. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In other words, I'm giving this just another chance, another chance, another chance. I don't know who this word is for, but God keeps on saying, I've given you chance. But it's about to be time up. When God calls us to repentance, he's calling us to salvation. And he's saying, rethink. Think again. It is after he had laid down this foundation that we come to verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We don't know whether this was what he was teaching in that synagogue, but he was teaching something. And while he was teaching, the Bible says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. The woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, this particular aspect of the Word of God is very striking, because the word for that should be translated 18 is the word deca-octo. 10 and 8, octo. But when you read in the language, the word that you see is a word for 8, octo. What is this? Why is the word not deca-octo and it's octo, but it's translated 18? I pondered that in my spirit over and over and over again. God, what are you trying to say? Why is the translated word not the same? Why is it 18? As it was about the 18 people at the pool or the tower of Siloam, the tower of the saint. What are you trying to say to us? Why did the translators translate it as 18? When the word is octo, what? Who gave permission for this? Because that would be a wrong translation. Outright wrong. 18 and 8 are not the same. If the answer to a question is 18 and I wrote down 8, the marker of the paper will say, wrong. God, what are you trying to get to us? Eight, 10, and 8. Oh, I get it. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 10. It's a number of completion. And God is saying, the completion of new beginnings. That's a scary thought. Because he's been talking to us about repentance. He's been talking to us about change. He's been talking to us about ending it. But there's a cry, give us a new beginning. And I get it. All scriptures inspired of God. Even in the translation, there was an inspiration. 18. This woman had been held captive by the spirit of weakness. That's what infirmity is all about. To be infirm means that you are not firm, you are not strong, you do not have strength, the capacity, the ability to be whatever it is that you are called to be. And the word of God says this woman had been bowed down for 18 years. Bowed together. Bowed together, whichever way you want to use it. and could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't get herself up. She's stuck. Stuck. Bent over for 18 years. Whatever happened? What happened 18 years ago that caused this woman to bend over? Did she have an accident? Did she go to bed, woke up in the morning and tried to stretch like she normally would and bent over? Weakness had come over her and overwhelmed her that she could not straighten herself back up. Something had happened. Whatever it is, the Lord Jesus Christ this particular day in that synagogue was going to put an end to it. Just like the dresser of the vineyard, of the fig tree. And it's interesting that the Bible talks about a vineyard and talks about a fig tree in a vineyard. Oh. Looks like it's misplaced. God says, no, nothing is misplaced. I am here to do a new thing in your life. Word of God says, it was a spirit. It was a spirit. This wasn't physical. It was manifesting itself in a very physical way. But what was behind it was a spirit. A spirit of weakness. A spirit that destabilized. A spirit that stripped her of her glory, stripped her of her ability, stripped her of her capacity, stripped her of her personhood, stripped her. Tonight, this day, we declare that whatever that spirit is that has held anyone captive, that the power of God will shatter the stronghold of that spirit, that we may think differently. Whatever it is that's come into the minds of people that have caused them to become weak in their minds. Weak in life, weak financially, weak in their marriage, weak in their parenting, weak in the lives of those that they're supposed to be strong in. Whatever happened to the church? Why has the church become weak? Why have we become infirm? Whatever that spirit is, I believe that this day, the sixth day of the sixth month of 2021, that the God of heaven, in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies, will do a new thing in the lives of his people, and that this spirit of infirmity shall be shattered, shall be broken, shall be removed from our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, there will be a divorcing of the spirit of infirmity from our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar. This woman was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. He didn't have the capacity to rise. Well, I thank God today that God has a word for us. He's still saying, as we will be having in our conference in just a few days from now, 11 days from now, arise and be healed. Word of God says, and when Jesus saw her, when Jesus saw her, I like that word, I do. When Jesus perceived her, when Jesus took notice of her, I do. When Jesus became aware of her, beheld her, when Jesus understood, all of those words are that word I do. It was not just about just seeing her. It was about understanding her situation, perceiving what her situation was, correctly dissecting and discerning what her particular setting was, what her real issue was. It was not an accident. She didn't fall off of her bed. No, a spirit. And I believe that it's a spirit that is blinding men and women, the Word of God tells us, so that they cannot see and behold the Christ. Recognize that they need salvation. Recognize their need. All you need to do is look at our world today, and all you can see is the confusion that has befallen so many. And you think, even for our leaders, how they're thinking. How are you thinking like that? What makes you think like that? The policies, the thought patterns, the strategies that our leaders, political, spiritual, civic, all of them. And you wonder, how on earth are you thinking that crazy? What makes you think that way? Don't you see that we are perishing because of your thinking? The way you are approaching things, that we are getting weak because of a spirit. When you take God out of the schools, take it out of the public square, and replace God with everything else, every garbage, all kinds of nonsense, why do you spend your time complaining about what is befalling you? What we need as a society is repentance. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that with all the problems that hit the world, all the crises that hit the world, that the people did not even repent. But we will believe God that out of the many, a few will come to salvation, because they rethink. This woman had a spirit of infirmity, and the Lord saw her, identified what her issue was, and he called her to him. Says to her, come. He called. and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Woman, thou art apolio. That's a very interesting word. Because what he says to her, he says to her, Woman, you are separated from that infirmity, from that spirit. Woman, you are divorced from that spirit of infirmity. Woman, you are released from that spirit of infirmity. All that word apolio means all of those things. You're loosed. You're released. You're separated. You're divorced from that thing. That thing that's held you captive, I am divorcing you from it. I'm separating you from it. I am breaking you free from it. Woman, thou art loosed. Today, may the power of God, the word of the living God, separate you and I from whatever it is that is keeping us in bondage, keeping us in a state of weakness. God has a different plan and a different purpose and a different dimension of grace that he's releasing into your life, into my life, into our lives corporately, so that we can walk in the freedom that only God can give to us. Because in ourselves, we cannot lift ourselves up. This is very clear. The word of God states very clear. She could not. She could in no wise lift up herself. What does that mean? It means that trying hard, it's not the solution. It means that working hard is not the solution. The solution is not in me. The solution is not in you. The solution is in God. And his everlasting word. And today, my cry, and I believe your cry is this, oh God, do something for me, because I cannot. I have been trying and trying and trying and trying. I've tried and tried and tried, and I've not been able to produce. I've not been able to stand. I've not been able to move ahead. I've not been able to accomplish purpose. God, help me. Help me. Help me. Is that your cry today? Or are you thinking doing 5 jobs is going to be the answer to your financial breakthrough? Are you thinking pumping some weights, maybe that's the answer? Maybe if I talk less or talk more, that's going to be the answer? No, it's the spirit. Maybe if I protest, that's going to be the answer. No, it's the spirit. Maybe if I attack the media, that's going to be the answer. No, it's a spirit. If I do this, if I do that, no. She could in no wise, by doing anything, lift up herself. Jesus said, to the woman. Come. Called her. And how did she come? She came exactly the way she was. And what did Jesus say to her? Straighten up, woman. Oh. He says, woman, thou art loosed. You loose from thine infirmity. You loose from that which has held you in captivity and in bondage these 18 years. It is a new beginning for you. Whatever has happened, has happened. But there's a new beginning. And the Word of God says in the 13th verse, He laid His hands on her. When He laid His hands on her, He says, and immediately, I like that word. That's a word that is very commonly used by Mark. Luke rarely uses that word. Immediately. Parakrema. Immediately. What happened? She was made straight. 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 Do you understand what that means? Jesus touched her. She didn't make herself straight. She, whoops. It was not feeling better. Immediately, she straightened up. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the spirit of infirmity that has held us down in any particular capacity, in any realm, that spirit be separated once and for all from us. But I ask that the hand of the Lord will even now rest upon every one of us, every son, every daughter, and that you will experience supernatural change even now by the authority of the Word of God. It is not going to be a slow process. It is going to be an immediate process. She straightened up and glorified God. Hallelujah. She straightened up and glorified God. But the interesting thing about that, is I would expect that the statement of her healing will be a word that signifies rapid restoration of healing. But watch, this is important. Where I'm going to go to now is very important. And please hear this. Because the significance of the statement is that immediately she was made straight, immediately straightened. Anotho, straightened. Boom, done. And she began to glorify God. And then it says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. You think people celebrate? This woman has been in this synagogue for 18 years, held down by this spirit of infirmity. And Jesus just dislodged that spirit of infirmity off of her. And what is the interpretation and what is the spirit that is operating in that particular setting? The spirit of this person who is not repentant and happens to be a leader in the synagogue. It says the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, responded to this miracle that just happened. He is in indignation. Indignation. You find in that word indignation, dignified. When you are in indignation, that means you've lost every sense of dignity. You're acting crazy. And you think other people are acting, you think other people are acting crazy. No, but you're the one acting crazy. Indignation. Because that Jesus had healed, and the word that he used, that is used here, is the word therapeo. Therapeo is a word for therapeutics. That means it's the slowest form of healing. The slowest form. The slowest. That's the word that means the person got better and better and better. But the statement that we hear from the Lord is that she straightened out. So what does therapeo have to do with this IOMI kind of healing, which is instantaneous? Right now, bang, done. It says because that Jesus had healed. That is not the statement of Jesus. That's the statement and the mindset of the ruler of the synagogue. Watch this. Come. The ruler of the synagogue, this renegade who does not know God, is that Jesus got her better and better and better. And that's the mindset that the enemy wants to get you and I into. The mindset of it's going to just happen slowly, but surely. No. God is wanting you and I. The time is short. The time is short. God wants to do a quick work. He says, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, he's saying to the people, but really, the person is really rebuking is the Lord. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Hidden in that statement is a very interesting truth. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. And in this case, the work was healing. In them, therefore, come and be healed. 6 days to work. In those days, those 6 days, you're supposed to come and get healed. And not on the Sabbath day. Excuse me? So there is a day that people should not get healed? There is such a day? What has the church been teaching us? Oh, healing was for the days of the apostles. These are not the days of healing. And guess what that's gotten us? Sick people. What has that gotten us? Popping pills just like everybody else. What has that got in us? Nothing. Because we have slated certain things to particular days or times. Meanwhile, God is saying, no, every day is a day for a miracle. Every day is a day to be a blessing. Every day is a day to bring an answer to people. Every day is a day set apart by God to be a blessing, to be a solution. Next verse goes on. The Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? You have animals. They need their thirst quenched. They need to be hydrated. That reminds me of my grandson the other day. He was, how old is Honoré? He's three going to four. He says, I need to drink my water to get hydrated. I say, what? I need to hydrate myself. Well, the Lord says, don't you get those donkeys, those asses, those whatever, out to water on the Sabbath day? And ought not this woman being present tense, continuous. She never wasn't a daughter of Abraham. She has always been a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound. Lo, these 18 years, Satan tied her up. Her problem was not she fell out of the bed. Somebody pushed her down. She tripped. Her problem is not, well, it runs in the family. Well, I guess that's the way it is. No, that wasn't her problem. Her problem was Satan bound her for 18 years. Ought this woman not be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day, on a day of rest? Shouldn't she come to her rest now? I believe that the Lord is standing up for every one of you, for every one of us, and he's saying, you ought to be free. And you will be free today. It's your Sabbath. It's your time of rest. It's your time to just chill and relax, knowing that you are free from every bondage, from every lie, from every deception, from every attack. It is not true that you are called to be poor, to be sick, to be defeated, to be tormented in your mind. It is not true. The devil's a liar. If it is not good, it is not from God. And will refuse to buy into that lie of the enemy. Well, I guess I need to do 5 jobs to get ahead in life. What lies? What lies? Why do you want to believe that lie? Why do you want to accept that? Well, if this happened and that happened, and if this happened and that happened, then maybe this will happen. And God is saying, listen, What you're dealing with is a spirit. Period. Is the spirit of an adversary. The spirit of Satan. The spirit of weakness. This spirit of laziness. This spirit of dementia. Cancer. Diabetes. High blood pressure. This spirit of COVID-19, whatever it is that's caused men to live in defeated states of mind, God is saying to every one of us today, it's a spirit. Some of you may be struggling with something right this very moment that cannot be identified in a lab. They've checked you out, up and down, done every possible test that they can do, and they cannot find any reason why you are in that state. I don't know what the devil has done to you. Your body is raided with arthritis. I come here to tell you the answer is nowhere else but in God speaking over your situation and saying, woman, man, thou art loosed. You are separated. May God separate you from that particular issue right now. May the spirit that has come into your particular circle to entrap you, to keep you in bondage, may its stronghold over your life, over your mind, be shattered this very moment in Jesus' mighty name. I was in Kinshasa, Congo, many years ago. Suppose maybe about 8 or so years back. I had gone on this ministry trip with my spiritual father, Papa Maurice Cerullo. And before he was to come to bring the word for the day, as happens a great deal of the time, I was invited to address this great congregation. There's got to be some 20,000 plus people in this particular gathering. And as I grabbed the mic, the Lord brought me to this passage of scripture, and I started preaching on this woman for a few minutes. And when I got to this verse, the Lord said something to me that I'd not considered before. When he said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond, on the Sabbath day, the Lord said to me as I was preaching it, he said, son, she didn't have to be in that state for 18 years. I said, what? He said, you heard me. She didn't have to be there for 18 years. And I'm preaching and I'm saying to the Lord, why not? He said, she's a daughter of Abraham. I said, okay, she's a daughter of Abraham, but she was still bound. Why shouldn't she be free? She said, did I not say in my covenant statement to Abraham, count the stars. If you can count the dust, the sand. I said, yeah. He said, she's been bent over all this time. I said, daughter of Abraham, she was seeing sand. She may not be seeing stars, but she was seeing sand. All she needed to do. And that's why we need to change our thinking. That's why the Lord was kept on saying at the very parts, early parts of chapter 13, repent, repent, repent. Change your thinking. Maybe you are not able to see the stars, but what can you see? What is it that is in your hand? What is it that is in your house? So you don't have $10 million, but what do you have in your house? So you don't have enough. You just have enough oil and enough flour to eat for now. And it's just enough for this moment. And when you finish eating that, in your mind, you say you're going to be dead. But God says, no, no, no. Think again. Think again. Think again. What am I supposed to think, woman? Go. Bake me some food first. But I'm going to die if I give you this. Do what you want. Your decision. You know, in the real matters that matter in life, you have a decision to make. That woman went, baked the food and brought it to the prophet. And her pot of oil and her pot of flour stayed on for the years that the famine was on. This was not even a covenant person. How did she come into covenant? By sacrifice, by her giving, and she was restored. And the Lord is saying to about this woman, he said to me, he said, this woman could have been healed all this while if she just remembered that as a daughter of Abraham, God says, blessings are upon the children of Abraham. If you can just count, if you can count the sand on the seashore, if you can count it, that's how I'm going to bless you. And here she was. She had an opportunity. She was staring at what the key to her strength was and was always. The truth. You know, you may be listening to me today, and the answer that God wants to use to bring about a turnaround for you is right before you. It is the problem that you are looking at right now, the thing that shows you that you've got a problem. The thing that shows you that you've got a problem. You see, the very fact that she was looking at the dirt all this while reminded her that she had a problem. But it was supposed to remind her that she was a daughter of Abraham. Flip it. Flip it. Flip it. Flip it. Look at it again. This cup is not half empty. It is half full. Because you see, when you say half full, you're saying, I'm rising. When you say half empty, you're saying, I'm going down. How do you look at it? What are you looking at? There must be a reset in our thinking so that we can see things from the God perspective. This woman had to be free. Verse 17. Watch this. It says, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries, notice, all his adversaries. It was one leader that was speaking up, but Jesus identified there were many enemies here. But in the midst of all these enemies, he did what he needed to do. And I say to you, you and I are going to succeed in the midst of our enemies. Nobody and nothing can stop the man or woman that has been called by God, who has responded to the call of God and heard what God said. And what God says to you, to me, woman, man, thou art loose. You're free. Can you say that to yourself right now? I am free. I am loosed from every iniquity in the mighty name of Yeshua. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. May shame come upon every enemy because of your victory. He says, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. May people begin to celebrate with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was a woman, a daughter of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, I begin to wrap up now. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to take it from verse 6 through 8. It says, even as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and was counted for him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, not of doubt, but of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Amen? And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen, justify the heathen through faith, preached before the what? The gospel. Abraham had the gospel. So the gospel was about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of our salvation. Yeah. What is God saying? When he preached unto Abraham the gospel, he was saying to Abraham, Abraham, see you? See your wife? You're barren. And in your old age, you are going to have children. You're going to have a seed. Resurrection life is going to come into you. And Abraham, who was old, even after Sarah was long gone, through his other wife, Keturah, had many children. There's no stopping God. In thee shall all nations be blessed. We are not here to rehearse and restate what the enemy is trying to do. We're here to declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And I wrap up with a passage of scripture that Mama was led to read today. As it always is. Whatever the word of the Lord is, God is orchestrating everything. In Isaiah 40, I'll take it off from verse 28. Actually, we should take it from about, let's take it from 25 or 28 is where I'm really going to concentrate myself. Isaiah 40, start from verse 25. God says, to whom then will ye liken me? Because I'm not like all these other gods made out of stone and wood and overlaid with gold and silver and whatever. Who are you going to liken me to? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who? Lift up your eyes on high. You see, bowed over. The Bible says she was bowed over. Whichever way you choose to pronounce it, whether you're American or British. Nothing stops you from seeing the horizon and the stars, because stars are not just up here. Stars are way over there too. It's hard. Nothing was wrong with her neck. Hello? Whatever it is you've got, use it. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. And when the Bible talks about the hosts, it's talking about the stars. He calleth them all by names. Every star has a name. Innumerable as they might be to us, they all have names. He called them all by names. By how? By the greatness of his might, not his weakness. There's no weakness in God. He called them all by name, by his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. God said, like the stars, that's how your children are going to be. That means God is saying that not one of us will ever fail. God has no failure for you. See, there's a whole world of difference between astrology and astronomy. Why sayest thou, he says, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, as if I can't see you. No, Jesus saw her. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. God cannot correct my situation. I guess I'm going to always be like this. The powers that be are in charge, and they can do whatever it is they want to do, whichever way they want to do it. They say, why are you speaking that foolishness around me? Hast thou not known? Don't you know? Bow down, woman, don't you know that you're daughter of Abraham? Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Don't you know that I don't faint? Watch this. God says, who are you going to liken me to? Don't you know that I don't faint? Neither is weary. Don't you know that I don't get weary? In other words, I don't get weak. There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, no matter what the devil tries to do to try to make you weak, he cannot succeed, and he's going to be walking around scratching his head until he's totally bald, because he and hornless and tailless, whatever. He cannot understand why whatever it is that he's doing to stop you isn't working. It is not working. It is not working, because you know that you've been blessed with faithful Abraham. They shut you down here, but you're still flourishing. They take this from you, and that is still happening. They take that, and that is happening. They take this, and that is happening. And it doesn't matter whatever it is that you're doing. It's like trying to sink a balloon or a basketball down and, you know, sinking in the water. As soon as you take your hands off it, it's up there. Can't understand why we can't keep this guy down. There's no session of his understanding. Watch this. He giveth power to the faint. God gives power to the faint. Receive power. If you're fainting in your mind, in your walk, receive the empowerment of God. It says, unto them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's what happened to that woman. Woman, thou art loose. He put his hand on her and she straightened up. Bang, like a spring. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. What is that point? The point is, those who are relying on their youthfulness, relying on their natural ability, he says, they will faint and they will become weary. And young men shall utterly fall. Not just bowed over, they will fall. However, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will have renewed strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And guess what God is saying? He says, those that wait upon me are like me. They're like me. They're not weary. They don't faint. They cannot be contained. They are everywhere present because my glory is upon them. So I was getting ready for service this morning. My mind was just thinking about the Lord. And I'm thinking, God, you did it for Philip. You took him from the desert and you dropped him in Azotus. I want to, by an act of my will, be able to go anywhere I need to go to proclaim your word. That's not impossible for you to do. I've got to think the way you think. You see, God is everywhere present. But one of these days, I'll share this with you. But the Bible also tells us that God rides in chariots. The God who's everywhere present sometimes dumps himself down to say, you know what? I want to ride in some nice vehicle today. And that's where, from that mindset of God, that's where we are able to have our own planes and stuff like that. It comes from the mind of God. The mind of God who wants to do things in the natural for us. Can God produce anything he needs to produce for you and I? Absolutely. And he's saying to you, I am divorcing you from weakness, laziness, procrastination, disappointment, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, shame, fear, doubt, and confusion. I'm separating you from anything and everything that will cause you not to be like me. And I say amen to that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll stop with that this morning. And tonight we'll come together again under the grace of the Lord as we continue in the series about destiny helpers, blockers, and switchers. Thank God that He's on our side. And we will always be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you have listened this morning, or whatever time you're listening, and you've heard the word of the Lord, and you say, I got some repenting to do, why don't you just repeat these words after me right now? Father, I come to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I turn my life over to you. And I ask, oh God, that you save me. I repent. I rethink everything in my life right now. And I take your thoughts as supreme, as sovereign over every aspect of my life. Lord Jesus, touch me. For I have come and I receive your word that I am loosed, separated, delivered, freed from the bondage, the satanic bondages of the enemy over my life, all that I have to do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before Mama comes and we share in communion together, I'd like to remind you about the next conference coming up, exactly 11 days from now, starting on Thursday, the 17th of June, right through to Saturday, the 19th of June. Listen to this video or watch this video, and please pass the information on when you see it on your Facebook or whatever spot you do see this particular video. Do share it with others. The broadcast is going to be global, and so share it to whoever you need to share it to. Okay? Here it comes. Praise the Lord. That is the Arise and Be Healed conference coming up on the 17th through the 19th. And the subtitle to that conference is Status Change. I'm expecting status to change for every one of us in a positive to the glory of God. Amen. This is the body of the Lord. It's a body that was broken for our redemption, for our restoration, for our deliverance and salvation, so that we can walk and live healed, delivered, and set free. As you take off this body today, The Lord says to us that we should do it in remembrance of him. And one of the callings to this table is that calling to repentance. We repent before the Lord. We dislodge everything off of our spirits, our soul, our bodies, that is not glorifying to God. For we do not want to be those that God says, I've had it with you. We receive grace to live life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name, take of this body and eat.
Bible say, bear one another's body. They didn't tell you to carry other people's sin. So if you've been hurt, wounded, broken, carrying unforgiveness, release it now. It's time to let it go. Say, Lord, I repent. That's part of the message this morning. Say, I repent.
Lord, I repent.
I've had a change of mind.
I have a change of mind.
I forgive those who hurt me.
I forgive those who hurt me.
And I receive forgiveness from you, Father.
And I receive forgiveness from you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Take of the cup of blessing and covenant.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The God we serve is faithful. At this time, I encourage you to honor God with your giving. Those that honor God with their giving, and I need not keep on saying this, are those that God will also honor and increase. He says he's the God who multiplies our seed sown. He increases. He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. If you want to continue to experience increase, and have resources. It is not in many jobs that you're doing. It is in walking blessed. And the way you walk blessed and work blessed is by coming into covenant relationship through your sacrifice. Those that fail to obey God in that area only have themselves to blame. When you honor God, God will not fail you. And I find as a pastor this 45, going to 45, that those who faithfully honor God never suffer lack. Those who end up struggling are the ones that are tight-fisted with God and God has nothing to bless them with. Take your little. Honor God. Participate with him. And his blessings will never fail. Abraham was faithful, and God asked him for a sacrifice of his son. Guess what? God had a sacrifice to replace that son. While you give into God, God is blessing you. Just honor him and be blessed. Let's do it. Let's honor God with our giving. Praise the Lord. And while you're doing that, we'll wrap up in prayer. I'm going to ask Mama to close in prayer for us this morning, and we'll see you tonight.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word has been spoken. Over our lives, we receive the word. Let our word go to work now. We are covenant children of God. the children of Abraham, children of our Heavenly Father, and our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to thank you for meeting every single one of our need. Healing belongs to the children. It's children's meat. It's our bread. The blessings of God are our bread. That's what we eat. We thank you, God, for every need is met. Need that are physical, that are emotional, that are spiritual, that are marital, that are wanting to be married. Every single one of them. Needs of addictions that are being dissolved right now and removed. Every bondage removed from the children of God, any type of bondage, needs that you know what is wrong and you still practice it over and over. Those need freedom from that kind of captivity.
Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Practitioner of evil is removed, and we are practitioner of the word of God.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for breakthrough, for every need met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord, and we look forward to seeing you tonight for another time in his presence.
Bless you.
Good day. Bless you. And I will chat with those on Zoom.